Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Monday, March the 4th, 63rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpham. Hey, guy.
Hi.
I don't see mud on your boots. Slow day?
Yeah. Well, kind of.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time, catching up over the last month or so. If you happened to tune in last Friday, you heard City Manager Bill Panos's disclosure. Or sharing that nationwide search is going on. We'll get Merle's perspective on what that might mean, what he thinks might make a better chief. Yeah. We'll find out if we can do better than Merle when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Louis Pasteur.
Oh.
Quote, in the field of observation, chance favors the prepared mind. Huh?
Okay.
That's almost a cop quote.
Yeah.
Almost, almost. Merle, we had the situation last week in Eureka of a gal student at Eureka High being hit in the crosswalk. Beyond that, I don't know. I've not seen the police report. I don't know if you have either. Who's at fault, who isn't, all that kind of stuff. However, we've talked over the years about the number of individuals who seem to be willing, if not anxious, to cross the street at any time, any street, any attire, any time of the day or night, with almost a reckless disregard of whether or not there are cars or trucks or logging trucks or cement trucks or anybody around. They're going to walk out knowing that somehow, I guess, God will protect them.
Yeah.
Have we seen an increase in pedestrian, I guess it would be a pedestrian collision, wouldn't it? I don't know.
Yes.
What it,
yeah.
Is that, okay.
Yeah.
Have you, over the last
There's been an increase, but they're not usually students. It's usually older people.
The Broadway wanderers?
Right, the Broadway and 4th and 5th Street around the older motels.
Okay. Skateboarding hasn't been a...
No, skateboarding, and, you know, we hear a lot of people, you know, wanting to do bicycle safety for kids. Well, we don't have many accidents with kids on bikes. Most of the accidents are adults.
On bikes?
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the guy pedaling a bike down center line of Broadway. I guess he thought the center line was for bikes or something, and balancing a couple cases of beer, you know? He got hit. He fell. The bike fell, and then the car ran over him. So yeah, there is that tendency for some people. All you have to do is drive 4th or 5th to Broadway at night, and you will see these people in dark clothes with hoods on, the hood, and they won't look. They just dart across the street, and I've had it happen to me quite a few times. So I have to drive very defensively, and everybody needs to drive defensively. And they even have these people that they go down and they press the button, you know, to get the lights for crosswalk. Well, they think just because they press that button, they can go. Well, you better look and see what's coming before you rely totally on those little flashing yellow lights to stop traffic.
How does the, I guess it would be the pedestrian code, read regarding crosswalks or not crossing where there are crosswalk lines?
Well, of course, crosswalks in the middle of the intersection are two different things. but crosswalks, you know, the pedestrian has a right of way, but you know, cemeteries are full of people with, he had the right of way, you know, and so you still have to be conscious of where you're at and what you're doing. You can't just step out in the street without looking. And that's what you see some of these people do.
Yeah, or distract.
Boy, distraction.
Distracted, yeah. Walking.
They're busy doing texting or, yeah.
There are a couple of places along Harrison, which is a, for those not familiar with that part of Eureka, yeah. Is half the street is in the city, half the street is in,
right.
The county. And there are a number of food-related establishments,
yes.
By where the medical is. It seems as if at least a third of the traffic is somebody not wanting to walk the extra 20 feet.
To get to the crosswalk, yeah.
Walk right across. And it seems more times than not, some car is having to brake unexpectedly, swerve, yeah. Or the guy or gal behind him isn't,
right.
I mean, there's no reason for them to be, yeah. Thinking that the car in front is going to be stopping. All
suddenly, yeah.
And you start getting all these near hits, near collisions on a tiny street with parking on both sides.
Right, yeah.
Ultimately, is it the driver's fault if there's a collision? Is it the driver's fault if I rear-end the guy in front of me who stops suddenly because some goofball decides to walk out across the street?
Yes, if a vehicle in front of you has to stop suddenly and you rear-end him, that means you were too close for the speed that you guys were doing. And the rationale for that is, what if the guy had to brake for a kid? And so, yeah, you have to be prepared to, you know, you have to watch your distance, be prepared to stop in those situations.
When someone crosses against the signal light, well, same hold true?
Yeah, they're at fault, yes.
Okay.
You can't blame the driver if he's coming along and the light's green for him and somebody steps out in front of him.
Or the car in front slams on the brakes to avoid that,
right.
And then you smack,
right.
Them.
Yeah.
Is that now that That's, the trailer's fault?
It's both. It's the trailer's fault and the pedestrian's fault. They could both be cited in that situation.
How many pedestrians have you cited for vehicular infractions?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Routine?
No, it's not routine. It's not something that we enforce a lot. We just don't have the manpower to sit down and watch all the intersections or crosswalks are. But that is a problem in Eureka where, you know, one of the things that bothers me is when I'm coming down the street and I see a car stopped at an intersection, like say you're on Fifth Street and you're in the extreme left-hand lane and a car, and you stop. And here comes another car. Here's a pedestrian. You're allowing a pedestrian to go across in front of you, and here comes a car in the center lane and he doesn't stop. Well, you're supposed to stop.
If
in
others,
those situations, yeah. Yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum. Merle's still the police chief for Eureka, right?
As far as I know.
When you left the building?
Yeah.
Okay. What does it take to change the curb coloring? You know, the red, the yellow, the blue, the green. What is it? What do those things require?
Okay. Let's take blue, for instance. You've got a situation, you're out on B Street, quiet street, and you're in badly need of a blue zone because the cars are always, that block is so busy, it's always full, there's apartment houses there and whatnot. So you go to the Parking Place Commission with your concerns. You have to come home in a van, a handicap-type van that, you know, has an elevator and lowers yard and whatnot. You go to the Parking Place Commission and meeting. I don't know how often they meet, but it's at least once a month because our traffic officers go. And engineering is there and the Parking Place Commission, who are appointed by the council. And you make a request that I'd like to have a blue zone in front of my place. And they look at it and debate it and question the person that wants it, and they make a decision. Same with any of the other zones. Somebody wants an unloading zone in front of their store because they don't have alley access, or they don't have enough of an alley access even. And they go to the Parking Place Commission and ask for a loading zone. And all the other zones, pretty much the same way. Red zones, perhaps sometimes it's I can't see when I pull out of this certain street, we'll say C Street, off of 6, because there's always cars parked there and I can't see around them to see if anything's coming. And so they'll look at that and determine whether or not...
Yeah, the city will do an awful lot, a lot of that determination on its own,
Department. Just the engineering department sometimes will make those decisions on those. They'll do a study, find out what's been going on at that intersection, and then make a decision whether or not they should put a red zone there.
What about the green is the 20-minute?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm in an area that has retail shopping, either I'm going to really want those, or maybe something that's a 2-hour parking. Now, the 2-hour parking, though, isn't color. They just are signed.
Right.
Is the process the same?
Pretty much, yeah. You go to the commission and see if you can't get whatever it is you're looking for. And, you know, I understand the reason there's 2-hour parking is because of the abuse that occurs. You know, years ago, I can mention these stores because they no longer exist, but Daly's and Bistron's, you know, you'd have... The employees that worked at Daly's would park over in front of Bistron's all day long, and the employees at Bistron's would park all day in front of. And so even though the store had a policy, you know, don't park in front of our store, they'd go over and park in front of the other competitor's store.
Find another spot, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why the 2-hour zones had to come into play, because it requires the employees to walk clear from, like, Bistron's, clear over to Daly's to yeah. Re-park their car.
Go two or three steps out of their way. it seems curious to me because, you know, for those retailers that don't have alley access, okay.
Right.
But when the delivery trucks stop, whether it's the white ones, the blue ones, the yellow ones, the brown ones, they can just stop in the middle of the street?
Pretty much, we look the other way because a lot of them don't have loading zones, and as long as they're, you know, not camped parking there and got their flashers going and they're obviously loading and unloading, we kind of overlook that.
5-6 minutes kind of thing, no big
deal.
Yeah,
even 10. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. There's one that's out here on Myrtle, and they'll just take one of the two lanes, park.
Yeah.
Park the semi there for, 45 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Now that's forcing traffic to use the merge lane as a passing lane.
Right.
Will you guys get excited and tag it, people?
Yeah, we could, yes. Particularly if we get complaints. We'll go out and look at the situation and see what kind of a hazard it's creating.
So.
Oh, it's in the county. Well, there you go again. You bring up these problems that turn out to be in the county.
Well, this is a business that's not advertising with us, but yeah. I'm still trying to be nice.
Yeah, okay.
But so there is some latitude with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. The red, though, if somebody wants to have that extended, or it gets extended in front of their house and they don't have an alley, are there some allowances made for the resident or the owner or the occupant in some of these buildings that, you know, they may get boxed out a little bit? Or do they just
you
have
mean
to,
where they lose their parking?
Yeah. Let's say you guys get excited. Instead of having a little 4-foot encroachment of red in front of the house, you guys want to have a 12-foot.
Yeah, well, we don't.
And that,
yeah, we don't make the decision.
The city.
Yeah, it would be something the parking place commission, which is composed of engineers and police.
So at this time, it would be the engineering part.
Yeah, the engineering would go
not
out
the
and
enforcement
look at it.
Part.
No, engineering. No, we'd enforce it once they paint it. But the engineers would go out and look at it and see if it's a reasonable request.
So what if I get squirrely and I decide I'm going to paint my zone orange?
No, you don't. Yeah. Well,
color okay. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Any issue with that?
No.
Good deal. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Earl Harpum.
This is Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpum. Merle, some of the different challenges I know, if it's frustrating for citizens to see some of the driving habits of those around us, it's got to be really frustrating for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
To see. Are there more arrests being made for infractions? Are there more accidents occurring? What's going on with these small little, whether it's running a stoplight, on the phone, you know, those things that may or may not really result in injury, but could.
Yeah. Distraction of drivers has gone up. Accidents caused by people on cell phones and or even texting. You know, you even see people texting while they drive. I don't know how the hell they could do that. But they do, and there's other distractions too. But of course, those are the ones we kind of focus on because those are the ones we see what they're doing. You know,
the most visible.
Yeah, and it's there's been an increase over the years, and that's why they've passed the law that they did is because, you know, legislature suddenly realized, look at the reports, we're getting accidents all over the state caused by phone use.
What about folks not paying attention to the intersections? Yeah, the light changes. And then they go through.
Yeah.
Not stopping.
Yeah.
We had one of those this noon hour. No, we were not the culprits.
Yeah.
We were the bystanders on this
right.
one. Notice I said on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it used to be California stops. Now it's kind of more of a California acceleration as you go around the corner. That kind of stuff. Lazy driving might be a good reference point. Are you guys seeing more of those leading towards accidents, collisions, things of that nature?
I don't know. My traffic guys could probably tell you that. I don't know if there's... That has always been a problem. I mean, you know, historically we've written tickets for that because that's always a problem. People are, you know, as most of our accidents, like on H&I, I did a study on H&I here not too long ago because the council wanted a report on it. We found out that like 90% of the accidents do not occur at the non-intersections. Stoplights. They occur at the stoplights. So people are running those lights and getting hit, or or they're, somebody's not paying attention and someone stops for a light and somebody rear-ends them, or, you know.
Stoplights, not stop signs.
Stoplights, yes.
Stoplights themselves.
Right, right. Yeah, the stop signs, we don't have a major problem with a stop sign. It's the stoplights that are the challenges.
So, what does that tell you?
Well, it tells me get aware of stoplights. No, just joking. Traffic moves a lot better.
You've been around since they took some of the two ways to one way.
They didn't have, when I started, they didn't have two or one ways.
Trying to be nice. But, okay. With H and
fourth
I,
and fifth were both.
Four, five, six,
yeah.
Seven.
Yeah.
With those changing to one way, has that increased the amount of traffic? I mean, if E Street became a one way, would that reduce the amount of collisions on E Street, or do you think it would have negligible impact?
You know, E Street doesn't have as many accidents as H and I, but it's not as traveled as much either. But it is a narrower street, and
almost as many stop signs or stoplights.
Yes, just about as many. And in fact, we looked at that street also, and that most of the accidents again were at stoplights. That's why the city is now putting up these huge stoplights. And they're easier to see, not only larger, but they're also, I don't know, they got some lead lights in them or something. I don't know. But anyhow, they're easier to see. And they're going to end up doing it all over town, putting those larger
but perhaps
lights
it in. Is a manufacturer-related issue here.
Yeah.
Are there any intersections that are not with stoplights that are problematic in Eureka?
Oh, I'm sure there are.
I'm thinking Bruder J would probably be the one kind of in our neighborhood, and it's close to the high school.
Yeah. And it doesn't have a light, and I don't think we have a whole lot of accidents there.
Oh, okay. Valentini and Ash just have glass in the front yard every once in a while. Yeah. Just because, yeah, okay.
No, I'm not saying there's no accidents. It's just that there's a lot more
elsewhere
at Booner and I, or, you know, then Booner.
Well, yeah,
and
but you've already got your safety yeah. stoplight there.
Right. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpum.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum. Merle, as a way to kind of help out with some of the traffic and I guess management of vehicle activity in the area, are there any new tools you guys have that you can use that are kind of helping the cause, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely. In terms of stolen vehicles, which are on the increase right now, thanks to realignment. And that is...
Not sequestration
or pardon?
Not the thing that's happening today? Just realignment.
Yeah, right.
Okay, good. Just checking in.
Right. We have what's called a license plate reader. And... we have two cars with the cameras mounted on them, on the sides and also pointing to the back. And they each car has the capability of reading every license plate that comes within view, parked, driving, whatever. It can read 100 license plates in a minute, you know, type of thing.
So if you're driving through a parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or motel and whatnot. And it records the license plate, and if that license is wanted for some reason, stolen, wanted system, Megan, whatever, Amber Alert,
fix
bingo,
a ticket.
Up goes the flag, and they know we've got a felon. I mean, they don't do it for a misdemeanor.
So these are felony.
Oh yeah, felony. Yeah, right. And so
takes out the fix it ticket thing, then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyhow, and it builds up a bank, and I don't know how long it stays, but it's like 60 days. Every license number that thing reads is retained. Now, and we're tied in with Arcata has the same system, and we're tied in with Arcata. So if we have a license plate of somebody we're looking for, we can enter that license plate, and it'll tell us where that vehicle's been if it's ever come within the view of those cameras. And in fact, we had an example of that this last week. Arcata's looking for a burglary suspect, and that occurred in their city. And we ran the license plate number, and bingo, it finds that car parked during the four-hour time period that the burglary occurred at this house. And it and you're able, once you got the license plate, then you can bring up the photo of the car. And here's, they got a picture of the car sitting in front of this home that had been burglarized. So
that's pretty cool.
Kind of made the case. We also had a couple over the weekend. We had we had three hits on stolen vehicles. Two of them were abandoned. The unit drove by and it flagged it, and the officer goes back and there's this car sitting there abandoned that had been stolen, reported stolen. Never had two like that. And then one of our female officers was driving on the street, and up comes a little warning. The car she's just passed is a stolen car. So she goes around, radios other units, and they track the car down, and they catch the car and the suspect. Look where we're at today. I mean, you know, when I come on, we had a baton, a gun, and a handcuffs, and that was it.
Horse. Weren't there horses then?
No, I would just miss the horse period.
Oh, okay. So you're right up there with the scooter stage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Would it make sense to do something like that with, when you guys have got your speed trailer, to have a camera or two hooked up on that thing too?
I mean, for speed?
No, not for speed, but just for... Oh. The license plate reading. Yeah,
we could. Except we've got them on our marked units, and they take quite a bit to mount them. All the wiring and whatnot. But they do have stationary ones, and we're talking. We talked to the mall to see if the mall wanted to be involved in putting a stationary one on their property, and we'd share the cost. But we'd have the technology to deal with the cars that would come in that were wanted or stolen and whatnot.
Do they take people pictures too?
No. Well, if the person happens to be in the, they basically.
I'm just saying, if somebody who stole something was running out of one of the businesses, boom, there's the picture, regardless of whether or not the business had an in-house camera or not. Of course, somebody
if an officer happened to be driving by, or the fixed one, if the fixed one was sitting down there, it would pick up the person who left the car, parked the car, and walked away.
Oh, very cool. One way or another.
Yeah.
The good guys get the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for coming by, Merle.
Okay.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.